Welcome to the Northern Affinity Video Podcast. During this session, we will be having an unedited discussion with an expert. And what I'll be planning to do is, during our discussion, get them to teach me something. Teach me about something that's of interest, but also they are an expert in. I'm Michael Edwards, and I'm the founder of the Northern Affinity. And I will tap into our wonderful community to bring you along on my drive for self-improvement and my desire to learn. So please connect with me on various social media platforms, whether it's LinkedIn or Instagram or Twitter. And I'd love to hear from you what subjects you'd like to learn more about, or what subjects you think it'd be good for me to learn about. So please, you know, get in contact and let me know. All the details will be in the show notes, and you can send me an email or contact me by the various platforms. I really hope you enjoy the show. I'm delighted to say on this edition of the video podcast, I am joined by Ruth Richards. So welcome, Ruth.
Thank you so much, Michael. I'm looking forward to this.
Right, me too, actually. Something I know we've tried to get in the diary a few times, but it's been a few things have happened, but never mind. We're here now. And for those who are watching on video, you can see, but we're going to talk today about using your gut feeling and kind of specifically around goal setting and manifesting now. So we're recording this episode towards the end of November. It's probably going to go out in relatively early December. It's probably a time of year when a lot of people are thinking about goals and getting new things in place for the following year. And that might be both personally or in business or both, actually. So we're going to kind of go through that today. I guess the first question to start from me, Ruth, is what is gut feeling? What does that mean?
Gut feeling is that feeling you get in your abdomen area, the gut area, when something isn't right, something's going wrong, and it's when intuition and gut is trying to get your attention. So I use intuition and gut feeling interchangeably. I mostly use intuition. But have you ever had an experience where perhaps you've been with someone or in a situation that kind of something didn't feel right, or an event or a circumstance, and there's a tightening or a clenching, or you just, there's a like a constriction or something that you get down here.
That
is gut feeling. And the gut is considered like a second brain in the body. There is so much going on in that part of our body physically that it, you know, it gives out signals to us. So when we get a physical feeling down there, for me, that feeling is the signal and the awareness, the intuition wants me to pay attention to something that's not right.
Yeah, and it's interesting, isn't it? I don't know how many times I've said to someone about something, or yeah, something just didn't feel right at the time, and then it proved it might be minutes, hours, weeks, or years later to be the right thing. I'm sure most people have experienced that at some point. Yeah. You just can't quite put your finger on why. On the face of it, everything's absolutely fine.
Yeah, but
just something's not quite right.
And that's perfect. You've got it spot on. It's because gut works differently to our conscious mind. Intuition works differently to our conscious mind, and that's why you can't always put your finger on it. But it is kind of a warning sign that, you know, it's just that sense of, oh, something's not quite right here. I get it a lot with people. I had a long career in the corporate world and travelled around the world, experienced, you know, kind of harassment and various things. And, you know, I used to get it a lot then. It was like, oh, I need to get away from this person or this situation. And you're right, we don't always pay attention to it. But, yeah, that's how I interpret gut feeling.
No, absolutely. And I think it's, I guess the thing to think about is kind of how we use that, and how we, you know, and that's not always easy, because it kind of, like, as I kind of point out often, it's something I don't quite understand it when I feel like that sometimes. So in relation to, like I said, goal setting, you know, why is that important? Why is it important to follow your gut?
It's important to follow your gut because when we do anything just from conscious mind that relates to manifesting, creating the life we want, creating the business we want, whatever part of our life it is, if we do it just from conscious mind, it's probably never going to work out the way that you want. And I'm talking from my experience. Other people may say, no, I do it from conscious mind and it works. And that's great if it does. I'm really talking to those people who, you know, I have done so many things from conscious minds the past 4 years, particularly working for myself. You know, I've got these ideas in my head and they've never worked out because my gut feeling and my heart and soul weren't in it. So it's important that we listen to our gut, because if our conscious head comes out with all these amazing ideas, and then you get the feeling in the gut that goes, yeah, but can we actually do all that? You know, then you need to listen to it. And it's like you said, you know, we don't always listen to it. We can ignore it. So that intuitive side of us needs to have a say in what we're doing when we're setting goals and when we're dreaming and creating of the life that we want to have. Because it's not just about what's in our head. It's about what's in our heart and soul as well. And gut feeling and intuition is talking to us about what is in our heart and soul.
Yeah, and me and Ruth were chatting before we started the recording, and one thing I told Ruth was basically the back end of this week and into next week, I've done a lot of work on my goal setting and planning for the Northern Affinity. So this discussion has come at a great time, kind of purely coincidentally, but a great time for me. So I guess the question to you then, obviously, and this is very much the question of the podcast, you know, if when I'm thinking about, I don't know, maybe introducing a new thing that we do, or taking away something, or adding something, and I maybe just have that little uneasy feeling, what do I need to do then?
So I want to tell you about a method called the CAT method. And this will help you through those gut feeling moments. And I call it a method rather than a process, because you can jump into it any time. And CAT stands for know, activate, and trust. And there's a couple of little things in each of those steps. So what we might do then is, if I just take you through the steps, and if you want to, I might ask you some questions. And if you don't want to answer them, because it's, you know, you're not ready, that you're not comfortable, that's fine.
I'll try my best. I'm sure I'll be fine.
and I just want to say as well, Michael, you know, this came to me last year, and it came out of my frustration of goal setting. I find the traditional way of goal setting just drains my soul and brings me no joy. And I remember sitting at my dining table January last year going, come on, universe, there's got to be a better way than this. So this itself is very intuitive. This was me asking the universe for help, and this is kind of what the universe gave me. So if we start with no is about, what do you desire and how do you feel about it? And I use this a lot for people who are stuck when they don't know what they want to do. And it might be good as well when you're kind of deciding what it is you want to do or want to stop doing. So I just want you to think about, to start with, desire. And it's desire in the sense of heart and soul desire. And it's, I'm going to start with one question for you. I want to be. So when you're thinking about what you want, I ask people to fill in the statement, I want to be. I want to know, I want to feel, I want to have, I want to see. So I've thrown a lot at you there, but if there's one that kind of jumps out at you, those are the kind of things that I get people to think about, and it's what I think about for myself.
Okay. So for me, it's about, you kind of took, you used the word joy, but I'd use the word fun. It's very similar. It is to enjoy what I'm doing, to have fun, the thing for me that I do enjoy is doing exactly what we're doing now, basically, whether that's obviously in the podcast form or in person. So being around people, finding out about them, learning about things that I don't know much about. That, and again, this is kind of the premise of the podcast, really. So for me, that is kind of what I want, is to be able to do more and more of that.
So you want to have more ways of doing things like this?
Yeah.
More ways of learning, more ways of helping people share what it is that they do.
Yep.
Okay. And you said you want to learn. So I'm going to ask you this one specifically to fill this statement in. I want to know. How would you finish that?
I want to know. I think I don't think I have anything specific that I want to know. I want to know about you. And obviously I'm talking about you in this particular conversation, but I'm talking about the kind of royal you, if you like.
Yeah, no, I get that.
So that's for me. I want to know about what people are doing. That's what kind of interest me.
And so try this one as well. I want to have...
I want to have freedom.
Oh, love that.
Obviously, that's not literal freedom. Thankfully, I'm not recording this from a prison. I do have my liberty. But I guess it's freedom to choose, freedom to do the things that I want to do. And obviously, that's both professionally and personally.
So do you get a sense now of how that changes up the goal setting? And yes, in this process, you can get down to numbers. You can get down to the nitty gritty of some of the more traditional goal setting. But just kind of this starting with this idea. And already now we've got a really good idea about what you want. You've got a really good idea about you what you want.
Yeah, and what it's doing, I guess, there is it's, you know, if I'm thinking about a thing, whatever that thing might be, does it help me get to that? I suppose, does it get me a step closer? It might not get me there as the end result, but it might get a step closer to that.
Yeah.
And
you've hit the nail on the head there because, you know, this does not start with the end result. This starts with, you know, what's in your heart and soul. And that helps you get to the end result. And I think what you've described there are things that are in your heart and soul. They're not, you know, yes, they might be in your conscious mind, but as you talk about things, as you say, I want to enjoy it, I want to have fun, I want to learn, you know, I know what's about you as in the people you meet, and I want to have freedom. How does that feel in your body? Do you get any sensations or a sense of anything in your body?
It's almost like a, I don't know if relief's the right word, more of a calm, I guess.
Okay.
For me, that feels... It's like anything. I'm sure you're the same with when you do things that in your business. Some things you're a bit. I'm not saying you get anxious about them, but a bit more. I don't know. They're just not as enjoyable. And
yeah.
And you know, if you're anything like me, you procrastinate on it forever, and it takes about 3 minutes to do it and just get on with it. But there's certain things I don't procrastinate about. I don't feel like that about. And sorting out doing things related to the podcast or going to the events is not one of those things for me. So it's almost a calm. I think it, like I said, I don't know if it's a relief calm and another slightly different emotions, but something along those lines.
So I'm going to offer another word to you, coherence.
Okay.
So the coherence of heart, body, mind and soul are all in agreement that, yeah, this is what we want.
Yeah. Okay.
So that I know the anxiety that you're talking about. It's like, oh, do I have to do this? When you talk about what you want in this way, you don't feel that.
Mm.
So coherence in scientific terms is about all the parts of something coming together in a reasonable way. And that's what I think the heart, body, mind and soul does when we know what we want. There's no, you know, the conscious mind, ego hasn't popped up to disagree that who are we to do this? Or, you know, you've not got that gut feeling that says, oh no, there's something not right here. I need to draw your attention to it. This sense of peace that you talk about is probably what I would call in spiritual terms, coherence. Is that a word that kind of would work for you?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I was thinking then, you kind of on the point you were making, do you think that, you know, many people, I think, when they're running their own businesses and maybe it's, you know, it's doing okay and being relatively successful, there's kind of this almost pressure, probably external pressure, to grow and develop it and start employing people. And that's absolutely fine if you also you want to do. But do you think people maybe don't then go back to it because it's kind of like almost not acceptable if that's what you're going to do? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I'm so glad you brought that up, Michael, because... I use this method in my mentoring a lot, and I've mainly worked with women who are kind of stuck or empty nest syndrome, don't know what's going on next in their life, and we use this to do that. And one of the things we talk a lot about as well is conditioning, which is what we have as business owners, isn't it? Oh, you've grown to a certain size, so now therefore you should employ people. It's the should, isn't it? You should [S2] Yeah. [S1] Do this, you should do that. And that's why I use this method as well, because it takes away the should and it highlights the conditioning and it gets you back to your heart and soul of what you want. So if someone said to me, oh, by the end of next year, I want to hire 5 people, I want a business this size and yada, 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 my intuition would go off if I was mentoring someone And I knew it wasn't what their hearts, you know, I knew it wasn't what they coherently wanted. I would be able to identify that to them. But I think there is that pressure, which is why I think doing something like this and getting back into your heart and soul, which is why a lot of us start working for ourselves in the first place, isn't it? It's this, yep, you know, dream, for want of a better word.
Yeah, and I think it's easy to get kind of lost in that kind of external focus that comes on you or to be seen to be doing these things as well. And obviously some people, that's what they want to do and good, and that's absolutely fine, obviously. But I think maybe some people, and I've probably been there myself, where you've taken it to a stage and actually take a step back, take a deep breath type thing and think, actually, is this what I want, or do I need to change? And I guess this is where this very much relates again to the goal setting that we've discussed.
Absolutely. And I think if you think about our personal lives, because I think when you work for yourself, it becomes much more integrated, doesn't it? Life and work is much more integrated than when you're in a corporate environment. And a lot of the women I work with, and men may feel this too, I'm only saying it's women I work with because that's my experience. I'm not being biased in any way. It's the conditioning that you have from upbringing, education, family, parents. So, you know, how many people get married and then, you know, the mother says, well, when are you going to make me a grandmother? And it's this kind of conditioning we have. And it's the baggage we accumulate along the way that you must go to school and do well, you must go to university. And actually, you know, I didn't do any of those things, you know, because it wasn't right for me. But we do carry this stuff, and it's the same. And I think it's hard for people when you work for yourself and perhaps your family around you, no one's ever worked for themselves. They don't understand what it is that you go through. And, you know, the number of times women have come to me and said that, you know, my family just keep telling me to get a job because that's what I should do and that's what will make me happy. And my answer is, well, how do they know it will make you happy? It will make them happy to know that you have security of an income or job security, but how does that make you feel? Because I think once you've worked for yourself for a while, and you may feel this as well, it's like, I couldn't work for anyone else now, could you?
I think I would be unemployable, I'll be honest, Ruth.
Yeah.
And I think it's because once you've had that, I mean, I used the word freedom earlier, once you've had that chance to be the master of your own destiny, it's hard to come back from that, I think.
It is. I agree. And I think part of the reason it's hard to come back from that is because you're doing something from your heart and soul. And, you know, I've had some great corporate jobs where I did put my heart and soul into it, but it was never my business. I never felt, you know, you feel differently about things, don't you? And so this is really about your heart and soul.
Absolutely. And I think it's interesting there you mentioned, obviously, you work a lot with females. And I was thinking, about it from a male point of view. I think there's a kind of a macho competitive thing that us men have ingrained in us. Often, you know, a lot, thankfully it's changing, but, you know, historically men, we play more sport, especially even, you know, kind of we all do it at school and PE, but then as we get older, you know, there's all sorts of numbers out there, aren't there, about females stop playing sport at like 14, 15. Yeah. Men go on and play various sports and keep being competitive. And that's kind of almost ingrained in us that in competitions about, you know, winning a game, but also getting to the higher league, doing this, doing better and winning things, which is fine. Again, I have to admit, I love that in my sport, but it's not always right in your life. I think there's a big difference.
And I love that you've brought it up from the male perspective. Obviously, I'm a woman. That's my lived experience. But, you know, even though it's 2022 and, you know, as my 9-year-old nephew said to me a couple of years ago, he's like, women should, because we were playing football. I said, I bet if I'd have played football at school, I'd have been really good at it. And he said, well, why didn't you? I said, well, girls just weren't allowed to. And he was like, well, that's stupid. So here we are in 2022 when, you know, the women won, was it the European Cup? I can't remember, or World Cup.
The European Championships, yeah.
The women won their European Championship. So women can do this stuff. But there's still this underlying, not talked about conditioning, isn't there, that women, yes, you can go to university, you can do whatever you want, but still an expectation of being a mother. And that's great. But the point is, we've got more choice now. You know, I've not had children, and I'm okay with that. But it's just, it's the expectation, and men's expectations, you know, from back in the day were, you will provide for a family. And I think it takes many generations for those expectations to shift, doesn't it? That, you know, absolutely, men have to be a certain way, and you know, have to be this certain way in a family, and a woman has to be a certain way. And I think it is shifting, but you're right, we all have these different expectations that we're living with, that we, it's very hard to go against when it's not what your heart and soul wants.
Absolutely. And kind of, I know we're going slightly off topic with this, but I thought I wanted to share it based on that. Is so as you know, my wife also runs her own business, and we've got two separate businesses doing two totally different things. Well, she has often been asked, did you start your business basically for your family, to flexibility and all that kind of stuff that we talk about? I have never been asked that question by anyone. And the actual reality is, that's the reason I did it and not the reason she did it. It's actually the opposite of what probably the social norm is. And I know, you know, she mentioned a lot. She'd been asked that question a lot of time. Like I said, I've never been asked it. And unless someone sees this and decides to ask it based on that, I'll be surprised if I ever do.
That's amazing, isn't it? As you were talking and you said that, I got the goosebumps, and the goosebumps to me is my intuition getting my attention of, that's a great example of those kind of societal expectations that people have. So when you choose to listen to your gut feeling, and when you choose to go with it, you know, you are in some ways going against society's expectations, because you're doing something different.
Absolutely. Now,
sorry.
Now, I was going to ask you about manifesting, actually, Ruth, because we've not really kind of gone into any detail about that. Do you want to kind of explain what manifesting is?
I do, yeah. So I don't like the word manifesting. I think the secret ruins manifesting for me. So I'm going to be really controversial and say, you know, the secret doesn't help you to manifest anything. the secret says you can ask the universe what you want and you'll get it. And that's not how it works. So I say the word manifesting because it has a resonance with people, but I like to talk about co-creating. So my spiritual and worldly view is that I think we co-create with the universe. So I believe the universe has its own consciousness, just like human beings do. And I think when we know what our heart and soul wants, and we're prepared to ask the universe for it, and then we have the intention and the belief to take our actions towards it, the universe will start to give us what we want, and that's how we manifest. So the secret makes it things like you just ask the universe and you do it, and life is not that simple in my view, because the universe is in constant flux and flow. Conditions are always changing. So what you want today might change tomorrow, and you're allowed to change your mind. But, you know, let me give you a great example, actually. For years, I've wanted a dog, and I've applied to rehome dogs and been unsuccessful because I'm not a previous dog owner. And you know I have a dog. Mildred came into my life in March this year. She's not my dog, but we've been together 8 months. So I'd really been asking the universe hard for a dog, for a dog, for a dog, for a dog. I really wanted the company of a dog. Mildred turned up in March. She was not the dog I would have chosen for myself at all. And she came to me through a friend of a friend of a friend. Now, this cannot have happened to anybody else that I know. It comes in such a convoluted process. And I keep, you know, I said to the universe, why have I got Mildred of all dogs? And I've got lessons to learn from Mildred. But it just came in such a convoluted way. And I use that as an example of sometimes the universe goes the long way around with you just to make sure and test you that that's really what you want. So that's how I describe manifesting. Does that make sense to you?
It does. And I think it's a really interesting subject because, like you said, it's not as simple as thinking, right, I want this and this will then happen to me.
I want £1 million. Bring it on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Caribbean yacht and all that. but I think obviously I'm not an expert in it. Kind of the way I see it from someone who's not, like I said, doesn't know that much about it, but listen to things about it, is that if you think about those things enough, what you're actually then doing is channeling your energy towards getting that thing. And it gives you more of a chance of it happening, essentially.
Spot on. You've got it. Yeah. Go on.
For me, if I said, I want a yacht in the Caribbean, if I didn't say I want that, then it's just not going to happen. But if I say I do, think about how I can get there, it doesn't mean it will happen, but I've got just a bit more of a chance.
That's exactly it. And this is what the CAT method is. So we did a little bit of it about what you want. So the no part of the CAT method is about knowing what it is you desire and then having the feeling about it. So let's just take the Caribbean yacht as an example. You know, and there's part of this CAT method and the manifesting and using your gut that's about daydreaming and imagining. As you said, it's just working towards that. So, you know, if you closed your eyes, could you imagine yourself in a Caribbean yacht that's yours? You know, what does it look like? What name does it have on the front? What Caribbean island are you in? Can you feel the sun on your skin? And not everybody has that visual ability, but, you know, there's a lot in here that is about, I allow people and give them the space to daydream when we go through this process. Because if that is truly what you want, then you're right. You've got to keep it in your mind at all times. So that knowing what you want, the second part of it is, you know what you want, you have the desire, but you have the feeling. Because quite often when you have the feeling, when you know how it feels to have what you want, sometimes the universe brings those things to you a little bit quickly. They manifest and co-create more quickly because you're creating, with that feeling, you're creating a vibrational frequency that goes out into the universe. And the universe goes, oh, hey, Michael wants a yacht in the Caribbean. This is interesting. Oh, well, let's see what Michael's doing about it. Oh, he's thinking about it a lot. Oh, he's looking through yachts. He's learning about yachts. He's deciding which yacht he might like. It kind of emphasizes it. And there's a little known scientific fact, and this is true, that, you know, from our heart center, there is an electromagnetic energy field that comes out about 5 meters from our heart center. And I have a view that this electromagnetic field connects with all the other electromagnetic fields in the universe. And that connection, think about it, if you meet someone and you know, have you ever met someone, you just connect and you get on with them and you're on the same wavelength?
Yep.
This is how I describe being on the same wavelength, that this electromagnetic field comes out of your heart center. You meet someone else, you connect, your wavelength connects to theirs, and it's like, oh yeah, connect with this person. Or sometimes you don't, and it's just kind of like these two wavelengths do not want to be connected. It's the same with manifesting. That feeling you have in your heart and soul, which is why heart and soul is important, sends out this vibrational frequency of, yeah, I really want this, and I've got intention, I've got belief, and I'm going to do it.
It's interesting you say that about the visualization stuff, actually, because I think we've talked about this before on a different day. I struggle to see things visually. If someone says to me, "Oh, let's decorate this room," let's put that, I just can't. I really struggle to see things. So what I've got is behind basically this camera on the wall is I've got a canvas which is basically, it's a Caribbean island. It's got it's kind of very stereotypical what you would expect: palm trees, still sea, white, blues, all that kind of stuff. It's that, but because I struggle to see it, I physically put it in front of myself, essentially.
And but it's back to what you said as well, because the second part of the CAT method is about, so once you know what you want in your heart and soul, you activate that with the universe, right? And that activation is the start of the manifesting. And in the activate section, it's about intention and belief. It's about, Michael, you're doing it without me telling you. The intention and belief, the intention is about taking those deliberate steps and actions that get you a little bit closer. Right. So even if it's just, you know, if I get 20 more people in the Northern Affinity in the next month, that increases the income by X. I can pay myself a bit more. That means I can save a little bit more. That gets me closer to the yacht. Does that make sense?
100%.
And it doesn't matter how small the intention or the action is. So if you can't visualize, it really doesn't matter. It's about those intentional steps, and every day looking at that image and having the intention. And it's the feeling of having it that is so much stronger than anything else. And then it's also the belief. So activating it is saying to the universe, okay, universe, this is what I want. Here's my picture. this is what I'd like to have. I know the feeling it gives me. So I know that one of the things that I'm working for and towards now is to have that yacht. That's my intention. But do you believe you can have it, Michael? Do you believe that yacht can turn up for you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So it's in your soul. It's in your heart. You've got the intention. You're taking actions. You feel where it's like to have it. You've got the belief. So then the third section of the CAT method is trust. It's then trust in the universe to bring it to you at the right time. And all you have to do to trust is keep your vibrational frequency high. So the thing with belief as well is sometimes, I don't know if this happens to you, but, you know, most of the time I'm pretty upbeat, but every now and then I'll have a little wobble and it's like, oh gosh, can I really do this? Who am I to publish my own oracle deck? Who am I to write a book? And it's like, no, it's okay. I believe I can do it. Belief can dip at times. Mm. So it's about that frequency, keeping that belief high with a strong high vibrational frequency. And then trusting it's going to come at the right time. But also trusting the universe will bring it in the right way to you. Because it's not necessarily all about you have to save up to buy the yacht. The yacht could come to you in many different ways and in ways that you hadn't anticipated or expected. And this is one of the things I say to people about money blocks when we go through the CAT method for people who've got money blocks. It's not this idea that you have to work for everything. Money can come to you in so many different ways that you just don't know about. So instead of thinking I've got to work hard and I've got to strive, it's I trust the universe to bring me this. I just take my actions by high vibrational frequency, keep the intention, believe. And when it turns up, I receive it. Because I've seen this so many times, and I've done this myself, I'm so guilty of this. The universe brings me amazing opportunity and I go, oh no. That can't possibly be right. That couldn't be for me because I hadn't thought about the opportunity. The universe has brought me something different.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You mentioned that kind of that a belief and obviously it's trust, whatever term you want to use is. I think one thing I know I do a lot of is I enjoy listening to podcasts of stories of people who've maybe come from quite difficult upbringings and challenging times and become successful. And I think it's almost my kind of reminding myself that, you know, I'm very lucky. I've not had a challenging times in comparison to what most of those I listen to. So if it can happen for them, it can happen for me.
Exactly.
I've never thought about it that way until you said it then, but that's maybe kind of almost subconsciously what I'm doing.
Yeah. And there's also something about self-worth, isn't it? Is there as well that you're like, I believe it can happen for me, you know, just gives me a very strong sense of your self-worth that I deserve this. And I think there are so many people around who struggle with that, you know, I can't manifest, you know, manifesting doesn't work for me. The universe never gives me what I want. Well, you've got to look at your own piece in it. The universe can put it on a plate in front of you. And if you can't accept, receive it and don't think you're worthy of it, it never manifests.
Absolutely. I've really enjoyed this conversation, Ruth. And I think so if someone's listening to this and they're maybe, like I said, in the roughly the same stage as me and thinking, right, I'm going to be working on my goals and my targets and things like that, my plan for next year, what kind of, I guess, the simple steps could they start doing to kind of listen to their gut to help with that? What few things would you advise them to do?
So I do some really simple practical things. One of the things I do a lot is I make myself a cuppa and I love to look at clouds and stare out the window. And what that does to me, it just slows me down. And just looking out the window, looking at the clouds and just looking at the shapes and just letting my imagination wander slows me down. And it creates the space in my head and my gut and my body for intuition to come through. And sometimes I look at the clouds and say, okay, intuition, gut, universe, you know, kind of what do I need to know? So I think just creating some quiet time and space. Don't sit at your desk with a pen and paper or your laptop and, you know, get out into nature. So Anthony Akers does this a lot, doesn't he, with, yep. You know, going out, talking. Being outdoors creates a different conversation, a different way of thinking. Last year, I went out for a walk in the woods and out of the blue, intuition reminded me of a pension plan that I'd forgotten about. And I dashed home to ring my financial advisor. So start by creating that space where your heart and soul, where you can listen to your heart and soul. And I do it over a period of time. I would never say, right, this afternoon I'm going to sit down and set my goals. I'm going to say, right, maybe over December and January, I'm going to give myself these periods of quiet time. Whatever comes to me, I'll make some notes and then I'll review them later. And the other thing I'd say to people is, it's not set in stone, you get to change your mind.
Makes
and
sense.
I think those have been my three tips to get started.
Well, that's fantastic. Now, I would go out and have a look at some clouds, but unfortunately it's misty and, well, foggy today, so I can't see any clouds. So I'll wait for the clouds to come. Hopefully they'll be here soon. Just finally, if anyone wants to kind of get hold of you and find out a little bit more about you and obviously the things you do, where's the best places to go and find you?
The best place to go is to my website, theintuitionconnection.com. I'm on LinkedIn, so do connect with me on LinkedIn. And I have a YouTube channel at The Intuition Connection, where I post a lot of stuff, so people can subscribe there to see more of what I do.
Thank you for this, Ruth. It's been a really fascinating conversation. I was making lots of notes through it. I have to go back and watch this anyway, so I'll be able to go do that. But it might be interesting. We maybe should do this in a couple of months' time and have a look at how I set my goals and what I did and kind of almost review it. That'd be quite a fun thing.
I'd love to do that. Yeah, cool. Thank you.
So thank you so much for your time, Ruth. It's been brilliant.
Thanks, Michael.
I hope you enjoyed this chat today, and like me, you learned something new from our wonderful expert. So if you'd like to hear from more of our sessions, please subscribe on whatever platform that you get your podcast from to hear more. And also, we'd love to meet you at some point at one of our upcoming events. The Northern Affinity hold events all across the north of England, and we'd love to meet new people and then have guests along. So please come along and check out our website or all the details in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening, and see you next time.